I have started streaming Cocktease. I've started recording properly. There.
Streaming Cocktease.
Oh, actually, before we do anything else, I want you guys to tell me something. Do you know what the fuck these kind of head screwdriver bits are for? Hang on, I'll try and get a. Come on, focus.
With this picture quality, they're barely recognizable. There we go.
Is there a correct answer? You know.
I don't know the answer. Question,
right?
No.
Oh.
Are they for sex?
Possibly.
It's been a while, so I can't remember.
And then there's these as well.
Yeah, I've not seen the screwy end ones, but I've seen the ones with the two.
I've
two
seen
prongs.
Screwy end ones that go the other way, because that's for threading something that's unthreaded. I wonder if maybe it is that. Maybe that's the right way.
Ah. But the two prongy ones, I've got no idea what they're for.
Also, there's meant to be five of one and five of the other, but I've got seven of one and three of the other. So, but that's cheap sets. But I got a nice one of those nice. One of those nice little
I love nice peanuts.
I wanted a better set than I had. A bigger set.
It's quite fancy.
It's got that
I've got a little one.
Yeah, I've got a littler one and I just wanted a bigger one, so I've got the bigger one, so it's got more bits. Cause I was missing a few for some Apple stuff and for some Nintendo stuff. And of course,
hexagonal ones. Or something?
Yeah. Well, I've got a lot of that stuff already, but the size, I didn't have the size I needed. So,
proprietary screws can fuck off.
Yeah, a lot of them. Like that's Apple and Nintendo are the two worst offenders for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the flathead. That's my favorite.
I hate flatheads.
I love flatheads.
Low torque,
simple,
slippy.
You can use a knife though. If you can't find your screwdriver, you just got a knife
lying
around.
You know where you stand with a flathead.
You
just get a good just zzz.
Push. You can just.
I do
use
like
anything
a. I like
straight.
A Torx. The six pointed one. I do like a Torx. They get really good.
I mean, they give you a lot of stability. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever used them. I've only used the crosshead, the Phillips head, and the flathead.
So posi drive, Phillips, and flat. Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And Allen keys, if they count.
Yeah. Well, that's a hex screwdriver. So
yeah,
it counts.
Yeah.
They count.
But I don't like.
I don't have any
keys.
Of those square ones. No, I've got some square ones, in some one set or another. But I don't have any of those four squares ones. No, they're wacky. And I've got some
four squares.
It's like four squares arranged in a sort of. Well, it's almost a swastika. It doesn't look like one once you see it all together.
And they use those on Teslas. So
yeah, that's what they use on Teslas. Yeah, I'd imagine. Yeah, yeah. I use lots of bits because I do a lot of little fiddly electronics and repairing consoles and computers, and it's more modern stuff that's got the weirder stuff. Though most of the older stuff tends to have.
I do feel like screws was a solved problem.
Yeah,
we don't really need. We don't need innovation in the.
Well, there is.
There is
some stuff. Yeah, there are some specialists where some of them make sense because of the amount of torque and angles and stuff actually matter. You think they don't, but they do. But most of it is just to stop
just
people from repairing their own stuff. Yeah.
Just use either of the crosshead ones.
Yeah,
fine.
That's it. They just want people not to repair their own stuff. They want you to go to the Apple store and pay the extortionate amount of money. Or,
is there a reason?
Or dodgy people that make shitty stuff that's really expensive don't want you looking inside, as I've discovered recently with a £25,000 amplifier that somebody repaired. And they opened it up and it looks like somebody's fucking high school electronics project on the inside, circuitry and all. Some good quality components and things in it, but fuck me, it's definitely not worth the amount of money they were charging for it. But people that don't know things will pay silly amounts of money for pro audio gear and stuff. It's like, jeez. Anyway,
but with the Allen keys, right? Do you not? Aren't they really just susceptible to shearing and rounding off?
The metal would have to be very soft for that, I think.
Yeah, I find they are though, that you get IKEA and all that.
IKEA
cheap shit, but they only want you to do it once. They don't want you to remove it and build it somewhere else or to move the furniture or whatever. I mean, I've got a nice bit of furniture through there that's like a multiple, two small drawers and three big drawers and like a little short wardrobe at one side, and I know when I try to move that, it's just going to fall apart. Even though I built it myself and I know it's nice and stable for me, it's not going to survive.
Could you not reinforce it? I've reinforced bits of cheap furniture before with some
Yeah,
success.
You could, yeah. Yeah, to some extent.
The bookshelf behind me is actually leaning against the wall, and if I move anything near the bottom of it, it just falls over. So I essentially can't touch it. It's just a death trap.
Excellent.
On a tangent, though, Hamish, why are you wearing a T-shirt advertising a phylum?
Very good. Very good.
I don't get that. A phylum.
Or is it a family? I don't know.
I don't think it's any of those, really.
I don't know what fish are.
It's fish. No, I think a band.
Technically, there's no such thing as a fish. It does have a big streak of toothpaste or something down it. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, toothpaste.
I'm terrible for getting toothpaste on T-shirts. That's...
Yeah.
Because it's the electric brushes. It's just like you open your mouth and a little bit. Like...
Yeah. Fish is a singer. Who I went to, well, this T-shirt's actually from a few years ago, but I went to see Fish last week. Well, a week ago Wednesday.
You're a shit agoraphobe.
I know, I've been out like 5 times in the past 2 weeks. And, I was out last night and the night before performing on stage.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Although, well, I never watches these, but the person who was with me and giving me a lift is a fucking terrible timekeeper, and we were like, we left about an hour and 20 minutes after I wanted to, and we were about an hour late getting there.
I mean, I find it ironic that it's you saying this when you were the one late to this recording, hey?
Oh, no. But it'd be fine, but the problem with that is I'm the kind of person, if it says 7:30, I like to be there between about 7:15 and 7:30 and settle in. Hmm. I don't like turning up at the last minute and then being expected to just do stuff and think,
I'm the kind of person you hate. If you say to me 7:30, that means anywhere between 7 and 9.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That's why we have
to. See, I kind of like showing up exactly on time, and that way you don't have to mill around with like awkward small talk conversations. But you know,
anyway,
you're just in there and you go.
Timekeeping is a
couple of hours late is fine.
Yeah,
there you go. The three life philosophies.
Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah. Also, I think I spoke to you about this. I can't remember if it was on one of these shows I mentioned it or if it was just in general. But did I talk to you about peanut chewing up mail?
Yes.
I think that might have actually been the last show we did. Yeah. Well, I've got one of those things that goes behind the door. That's meant to catch it. And it's successful, but it's not very effective. And no, that's not the right. I'm trying to think how to say this. What it is, it's a soft one, because if I got one of those metal ones, he would just claw the fuck out of it and try, and it would be pulled out the door. So I thought, well, I'll get one of those flat ones that when you push the mail in, it sort of goes into a little pouch at the bottom. So it's, you know, it's just a flap that you un-velcro. But the problem is it doesn't expand. So it just sits at the bottom. So it's meant to be an expanding bag, but the sides parts are just folded in. So I'm going to have to try and unfold them, because it doesn't, you know, anything big's going to fall at the sides or whatever, or he's going to knock it and it's going to come at the sides. So I need to experiment with it. But unchewed mail today was the bonus.
Hey!
So, you know, it worked in that respect.
So you could chew it yourself.
It always shocks me when, like, Danny's on video or something. In America, they actually have those mailboxes at the end of their driveways on a pole.
Yeah.
Like that's real. That's not just a thing from films and stuff. Like that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it makes sense for stuff like that, so your dog doesn't chew things.
Well, it makes sense for these huge, bloody sprawling houses they've got with a driveway and a, you know.
Yeah, for that, yeah.
If you see like a big house in Britain with like gates or whatever, you'll see the post boxes actually at the gate.
And that's right. If you got like a mile long driveway, then yeah, that makes sense. But
I've seen big houses with both, like ones where they got like a pillar by the gate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but sometimes, yeah.
But they even do it on American housing estates that have just got, you know, a few meters of garden in front of their house, and it's just like, well, couldn't they walk the extra few meters and put it in your door?
Or even better, just have a postman's highway where you just have a path that goes directly from door to door to door to door.
Yeah, underground maybe. And then a little hole in your floor. Yeah. And you tubes. Up like that. Yeah,
pneumatic tubes. Yeah.
those old, sort of those maybe old air, like electrical.
That's the pneumatic tubes, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be great. Why don't we still use those?
Well, they do in some places. They use them in casinos and places, use them.
Yeah,
to
sense.
Take money off the tables, right? You know. No, for cash money.
Oh.
Cash money
gets...
What an odd bit of trivia you have there, Hamish.
I mean, it makes sense for security. Yeah. When I worked in a petrol station,
they're a similar thing. Supermarkets still use them, actually.
We had little cylindrical canisters where you were supposed to put the cash into, and then you do a safe drop. You just drop it through a hole in the floor, so you know the employee can't get at the safe, obviously.
Yeah.
I think we were supposed to do that when there was like 30 grand in the till, and often there'd be like twice that for me.
It just couldn't be arsed.
Yeah, if somebody robbed us, then you'd be set up for life.
Yeah, but no, they some supermarkets still do it. Yeah, if you look at some supermarkets, you see there's a pole, and I mean it's probably a drop rather than a pneumatic system, but it is similar idea. They put things in a canister. Yeah, pay attention next time you're in a supermarket.
I will do
some of the. Sorry, Drew. Yeah, I mean to be fair, I don't often go into them, but I have done lately.
Last time I was in one was probably
1999. Anyway.
Also, Prince, provably an idiot, because the millennium was shit.
Well, also, it wasn't in 2000. Everybody had parties in 2000. Yeah. No, I'm not one of those. I can fucking count. There's a difference between one of those and being able to fucking count.
I agree with you. I agree the millennium was in 2001. But for me, it's kind of like, you know, Christmas isn't actually on Jesus' birthday. It's fine.
Yeah. Let them do whatever they want.
Was there ever, because there wasn't a year zero, right?
Well, no, because it's all bullshit made up based on a story anyway. So
I mean, there was,
and even that's inaccurate. Even if you look back at the origins of the story, it's inaccurate. Both the day and the year. So it's all bullshit made up anyway. But yeah, there's no year zero in the system.
If we look at... Looking backwards, there is a year zero.
No, there isn't.
I mean, they didn't have a year zero at the time, but there's a zero AD, isn't there?
No, there is no zero.
No. It's one BC and then one AD.
Yes, that's the problem. That makes sense. One of the problems with the calendar system we use is there isn't a zero.
Oh, right.
AD.
Yeah, there's literally a year missing.
I'm dubious.
It's like all these fuckers that count from one.
I know I'm going to be wrong because Hamish was right about.
No, I'm not right about it.
On Sunday,
you might find that depending on conventions and international standards and stuff, they've stuck one in or something.
No, a year zero does not exist in the Anno Domini calendar system.
We've got to fix that pretty quick, I think.
Pretty quick. Well, it's only 2025 years too late.
Yeah, the best time to do it was 2025 years ago.
When was the AD BC system invented?
Middle Ages or something, probably. It's a wild guess. It could be wrong. No, because they did call. No, it must have been. It must have been the first millennium sometime. By this calendar, because we had things that happened. Well, or is that just us retroactively applying those years, like the Battle of Hastings,
It was invented in 525 by Dionysus Exiguus.
There you go. And at least it was somebody we know well and have revered ever since.
He was just very embarrassed.
Is there one the Gregorian one then? Is that right? I always get mixed up which one's which, the Julian and the Gregorian.
Gregorian's what
we're
use
Gregorian
now.
Because Julian's more sounds older.
Julian was the lunar calendar, I think.
The whole lunar calendar makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but
that doesn't suit the Catholic Church, you know. Because they don't have loads and loads of gods. They just have, you know, loads and loads of saints and Mary, and also
our one monotheistic god is kind of three gods.
Yeah. There's nothing. It's all, you know, nothing to do with any older stuff at all.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's funky. Motherfuckers, what's happening?
We could talk about the Expanse.
We could.
And I do actually like this season, so I would like to talk about the Expanse.
Right. Well, I looked up something as well. I'd forgotten I'd looked this up, but I've got it here. I looked up what Moteng means.
All right.
Right, so we're talking about a Kamina drummer who is now a pirate, presumably in honor of Ashford in some way.
On Kamina drummer's polyamorous pirate crew.
Yeah, it's the polycule that they've got a
The
polycule
polycule
crew.
pirate crew.
Oh, and there's that one woman, she's really gorgeous. She's been in tying that guy as well. She's really, really lovely. Can't remember her name now, but that's because it's been ages since I looked all this up. But the ship they're on, the ship that Kamina's like flagship of the fleet, as it were, is the DeWalt. Not to be confused with the tools, I guess. I don't know. At first, I thought, what? They're advertising a brand of tools? And anyway, so she's got, they've got the DeWalt or DeWalt, and then there's the Moteng. And Moteng means need or necessity.
In Belter?
I believe so, yes. Yes.
Okay, that's
Need or
interesting.
necessity, yeah. Something wrong with this fucking head. I really need to get a different set of headphones. These ones have just nothing but. They started off okay, and then the cable went, and then the foam pads are all hard and crunchy instead of soft. And I just need to get a new set. But I'm loath to buy them when these work okay. But also, this one seems to be going on at me. So yeah. So it's a bummer though, because they're AKG and AK. I've got an AKG microphone that I've had for like 30 years that worked perfectly fine. You know, usually good stuff. But looks like I got unlucky. Anyway, so yeah, and during the show, early on in the show, they also discovered another ship. They discovered Ashford's ship afloat. The
Yes.
Tynan,
Yes.
so they have a three ship fleet, and she's absolutely badass, of course, telling the other Belter pirates who actually attacked a ship not to kill anybody, and you know that to give them 10% of everything, and they tried to argue and did not like the answer they got.
So this isn't a Belter approved piracy then. This is, the Kamina's just gone off
No, this is
on her
piracy.
own.
Yeah, there is no approved piracy. I don't think
She's kind of,
not
she's kind of gone back
privateer.
to
Yeah.
She's gone back to like factionalism. Like she's
yeah.
just a faction now. She's just
yeah.
a Belter faction
basically,
or
yeah.
OPA faction or whatever.
She's her own little faction, her and her polycule of crews.
And like there is no law out there, so whoever's got the power is the law, and in that area, she's the law.
Yep, that's it. That's pretty much it. So, and Drummer's quite scary, as you can imagine.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, she does a good job. Right, so that's where we open up the
Okay,
show.
well, the most important and well, just the most important thing in this episode is, and I want Chris's reaction to this, we learn Timothy.
That's the next thing on my
Oh,
list. Okay, I
Timothy.
thought you were going to say something else about this
No,
the
Timothy.
piracy thing.
It's all about Timothy. We like first time through when I discovered his name was Timothy, I was rocked.
It's
Oh,
not
hang on
him,
a
is
minute.
it? Even Tim
Did we not?
or yeah, nothing works for him, does it?
No,
None of
it's
those variations.
It's been a while since the last episode.
Yes, it
So
has,
I can't quite remember if we learned. So we learned he was Timothy in this episode.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, this is the
episode,
first time we ever hear that, yeah.
Honestly, my reaction was like, oh, I guess that's his name because it's obviously not Amos.
It's just the fact that they chose Timothy. Like, you couldn't choose
Timothy.
a less Amos name than
Yeah.
Timothy, and I
Tim,
love it.
Timmy, Timothy. No, none of
Yeah.
the none of it works. Not one of those fits him at all in any way, shape, or form.
But it's great. He's Timothy.
Yeah, but like Timothy is the kid in the flashback. That kid looks like a Timothy.
Well, it's his real name is Timothy.
Yeah,
Also, I thought they did a good job casting there. I think that young kid looks like a plausible young Amos.
Yeah,
yeah, no,
he's looked
I
pretty
definitely
good,
think
yeah.
that. Even though I didn't necessarily like that scene, I think
Oh,
the
you
casting
didn't?
of that kid, no.
Oh, I love that scene. Why did you not like that scene?
Ah, okay, right. Okay, there is some prejudice against flashbacks.
Yeah.
I knew that
And
was
I
going to
don't,
come up. Yeah.
yeah, and I don't feel that it was necessary or necessarily added anything that warranted its
Oh no,
existence.
absolutely. You keep saying this about flashbacks that establish like a ton of character and a ton of character relationship, and they're absolutely necessary. Like it's so we know so much more about Amos for seeing that flashback.
And it's like, and also I find it like.
Oh, how are you
Like,
going to do Amos in the past without doing a flashback?
Well, they did it with the rest of the episode.
It doesn't
give you context or thing. It's just a peaceful moment in the episode, I guess.
How do you feel about when they do a thing that's not quite a flashback? I can't remember which episode. I assume it's this episode. Where Amos is just walking through the street and he looks into a doorway and he sees somebody crying or something.
It's the same. It's the same actors, I think. It's the little kid with the bloody nose, and the same woman who plays Lydia as well.
Yeah. He sees himself in that doorway, so he's like, "That's him remembering." Is that to you? Is that a flashback, or is that an okay thing?
No, that's totally fine. Okay.
Yeah,
The flashback is where it takes you out of this story and puts you in the prequel for a short.
So how about if Amos had gone down to the dock and you see Amos remembering in the same way? So you have those two characters having the conversation on the dock, but you also have adult Amos looking at them, remembering. Would that make it acceptable?
What's he remembering? Does it add any? Is it important?
I think it does, because it shows where a lot of Amos's sort of life philosophy comes from. A lot of like why he is how he is. I mean, yeah, we've sort of picked that up along the way anyway, but seeing the specific source of it and that conversation where she's saying the kind of things that he would say. Also, I can't remember exactly what she says, but the thing when she says, I don't know how to love, but if you both pretend hard enough, maybe that'll be enough kind of thing. I think that's lovely.
I liked it. I just flashed up on the screen, by the way.
They're people who've been abused.
They're broken people.
They are literally incapable of love, or perhaps incapable of love. But they're aware that love is the right thing to do. So if we act like we've got love, maybe we can repair ourselves a bit.
I just flashed up on the screen a picture of Vanessa Smythe, who plays Michio, who's the one I was talking about. And she is. I mean, I like a lot of the women in this show, but she's definitely way up there. She looks cuter as Michio somehow, because she looks like she's not too model stroke actress skinny in that. I think it's just because her hair's tied back and she's got her cute cheeks and stuff.
I'm not so fond.
Yeah, well, you know. That's all right. Each to their own. When she says, "Oh my god, I'm in love with those three guys from Space Virgins," you know, it'd be easier for her to choose, you know. Anyway.
What do you mean when? We've already got the emails.
The wording she uses is she's not righteous. That's what she says. Lydia.
I'm sorry.
Back to Lydia. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The wording uses is she's not righteous.
Which is a concept for a child that, like, to say that to a child that of that age.
No, I think not a child of that age could understand that.
You think?
Yeah, Amos isn't stupid.
Righteousness. I mean, they talk about righteousness.
No, I mean, any kid that age, like, it's just like righteous is a very complicated term.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, you know, he's not really that much of a kid. I mean, he's had his childhood taken away, really.
I mean, he's hanging around with adults a lot in his work.
Well, I mean, when I say child, like, I mean, it's like it feels academic. Maybe it's just because I've largely heard it in academic terms rather.
We were both brought up Catholics. What were you?
Maybe that's it.
One of those words you hear a lot as a kid, anyway. You know. Maybe that's part of it.
I would say Amos has Catholic vibes.
He does actually. Yeah. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'm not even going to start digging into that one. We'll be here for 10 shows and we'll definitely get cancelled.
The Catholicism.
He's got a favourite nun.
It's got a favourite nun.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I knocked the mic there.
That's all right. I might as well tell this now. You know, there's loads of clips of Dave Allen, the comedian. Oh, you know, remember 70s comedian? And there's a story he tells that always makes me laugh. And he says there's a man walking to go to the pub, and at the street corner, right next to the pub, there's this nun standing there going, "Oh, you know, it's drink is evil, and it's, you know, it's sinful." And she sees him going into the pub, and she stops him and says, "Look, oh, that you shouldn't be doing that. It's terrible. That drink is an evil, sinful thing." And he goes, "Have you ever had a drink, sister?" And she goes, "Well, no, but it's because it's sinful and evil. I know it is." And he says, "Well, look, how can you, if you've never actually had a drink, tell me that it's evil?" And she goes, "Well, I suppose." And he says, "Well, I'll tell you what. You have a drink, and if you don't like it, then that's fine. But if but otherwise, you should think about these things." And then she goes, "All right, okay. Well, what would a lady drink?" And he says, "Well, I suppose gin." And he goes, she goes, "Okay. Well, could I have a small gin then? A gin, you know." And he goes, "Okay. Let's have a gin. I'll get you a gin, and you can try it." And she goes, "Oh, but can you like get it put into like a mug or something? I don't want it to look people to see what I'm doing, you know." And he goes, "Oh, all right then." So he goes into the pub, and he says, "Can I have a pint of lager and a gin? But could I have it in like a little mug or something?" And the barman says, "Oh, that fucking nun's outside again, isn't she?" He tells it better, obviously.
No, but because it was unrealistic, the idea of a Catholic who didn't like
drink. Yeah, exactly. A Catholic who doesn't drink. Yeah, Baltimore. Oh, yeah, so then we discovered Lydia had a partner for the last 10 years.
And he's lovely.
He's a lovely old man, yeah.
I like the relationship between him and obviously Amos starts off a bit aggro at the beginning, but when he sees that Charles is in pain, Amos's empathy kicks in and he sort of sees him as a...
Yeah, he realises he's genuine enough and all that.
They've shared.
And also, but also Charles is not from that life either, which is interesting.
But when he starts crying and Amos says, "Okay, I will have that cup of tea," because
seem good, thanks. It's like, stop this crying.
Amos
being
sweet. Yeah.
It is. Well, and then we hear the next name, which is obviously from Amos's past as well, which is Eric.
Yeah.
With an H on the end for some freaking reason. I don't know. It must be an expanse thing. Eric.
It's all very German.
It's and like
German,
Philip. Yeah.
And June will tell us how to pronounce that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, she's I'll come back to that and carry on with it. Well, we'll come back to the Eric.
I'm drinking tea.
I'll come back to the Eric thing. He's got it in a Game of Thrones.
You have tea that you make at home in a sippy cup.
Well, it's
a Game of Thrones cup.
It's a Game of Thrones sippy cup.
I'm surprised not got one of those sticky up bits in the sippy cup. Instead of the whole
absolutely ridiculous. What's wrong with the mug, Christopher?
It keeps
all
it
the nuns
longer.
Have stolen them for the gin.
I don't believe you. Also, drink it faster.
Okay. Right. Well, I might as well continue with the Timmy story then.
Timmy.
Yeah, so the next thing, of course, in this part of the story is that Amos goes looking for Eric or a way to contact Eric. So he's like scoping out all the drug dealers and stuff on the street, and he sees this one guy and he goes, he grabs this guy and says, "I want to speak to Eric," and the guy tries to. He flashes his gun, which is really fucking stupid, really. You go, "Oh, I've got a gun." "Oh, have you? Right, I'll just take it then, thanks." Which is exactly what Amos does, and then smacks him.
It's the thing you see people do in fiction. I mean, I've not seen it in real life due to being English, but it's the thing you see people doing in fiction. Is it a thing that people do in real life? Like, back up, I've got this? It seems plausible that people would do that.
It does seem very stupid, though, because I would do exactly what Amos did.
I mean, you've got to be good. Like, if you miss, yeah,
you've got to have confidence in that.
Yeah.
If somebody did that to me and they're not reaching for it or get a hand in it, it's like, oh, is that right? I just grab them before they can grab the gun, then. It's like...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you walk away, they could shoot you in the back.
I'm too clumsy for that shit. I'd end up shooting myself.
I wouldn't shoot them with it. I'd just take it off them, which is what he does. He takes it off and smacks the shit out of him. And he goes, "All right, stop hitting me." Which is quite funny. "Please stop hitting me."
All right, fine. I know Eric. Jesus.
I get the idea. Stop fucking hitting me. That happens. Then he has his meeting with Eric. Now, I just want to see if I've missed any notes. Oh, ah, no, I did have a couple of notes on the Eric scene that weren't directly related. I don't know if I think Chris, if any of you would pick on it would be Chris. I thought the Eric scene was very Blade Runner. You know, the building and everything, the way and the way he goes up.
Yeah, I see that.
It had a real And the other
I
thing,
find that scene very interesting.
it was a good scene. It tells you a lot in one little bit of story because it tells you a lot about Amos's background. It shows you also though that Amos sort of favors the underdog a bit because he killed another crime. He was sent to kill Eric, who was presumably a junior type guy in crime, and he kills the crime boss himself
I mean
instead.
We know I mean we know that about Amos. He absolutely will side with an underdog.
So he could have done that, but also
especially somebody, especially where it's bullying essentially, anywhere where there's an imbalanced power dynamic, he will protect the person.
And Eric's disabled and stuff as well, so I wonder if that played into that, you know, him,
nice that they
as
nice
you say
that they,
the
he's obviously
thing.
His arm's missing from like there on one side, right? And that's the actor as well.
That's the actor, the actor's in a lot of stuff without it ever being mentioned.
Yeah, which is
it's
cool.
just you know, just where he is. But of course Eric thinks Amos is back to take over his crime business. He thinks he's come to sort of steal, or not say, but take back what's, you know, everything.
And I think that's interesting because it seems like through the dialogue you learn that they were like brothers growing up, like very close, and presumably quite similar. And they just had divergent paths, and us as viewers are like, well, Amos is clearly like, Eric is like, look at all the stuff I've got, but he's living in constant fear, you know, like, and it's like, well, Amos, he doesn't have all that stuff, but he's got friends, he's got, you know, you're looking at the two, and you're like, oh, Eric, it's a little bit of a like, well, who's
an
happier
odd
there?
An odd world, that
how their lives have diverged.
So Eric thinks he's here to take it, and he's like, you know, the most clumsy, obvious test. He puts the gun down on the table. It's like, well, we all know, everybody, the audience, Amos, we all know that gun isn't loaded. It's a test. And he's like, look, you don't have to test me, man. And it's,
But then Amos does, do you notice when they're drinking, I assume it's bourbon, Amos looks and waits for Eric to drink
his.
Well, I mean, I'd do the same, but also, it would be really stupid to shoot someone with their own gun. It might, not only might it not be loaded, right, but it also might have, like, I don't know how.
Well, no, we've learned when Bobby was on the Mao's yacht, there were DNA encoded guns that wouldn't work for her.
Or it might just have a janky hammer you got to pull back or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be anything. Yeah, anything could be. If it's not your own weapon, you don't know it. It's a big risk to try and.
Well, don't know where the safety
and I mean,
is.
That's
the safety on.
Pardon?
Don't you, maybe you don't know where the safety is, you know?
Yeah.
It's a trick gun that shoots backwards.
Yeah. Well, there are quite often in fiction. There's it wasn't loaded anyway. When people get the gun off and turn on, and it's like, it wasn't loaded, so you know, I was bluffing.
There's a nice bit in Bourne. I do like that first Bourne film where two of the sort of CIA assholes are fighting each other. And one of them steals the other one's gun out of the fridge or something and then tries to shoot and there's no bullets in it. And he goes, oh, he's German. And he goes, oh, I thought it was a bit light, which is kind of like, that's kind of cool. Like, he could tell the difference. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. Sorry, it was weird. I thought I was hearing something with you guys, but it seems to be something outside.
I mean, well, I'd imagine
go
if you held
speakers when I get tea. So
okay,
I imagine if you've held a fair number
of
guns.
Oh no, that's very very.
Oh, that's
okay. Why is it? Why are you coming through, but I'm not? That was weird.
It might have just been because you weren't speaking at that time. But
okay.
I'd imagine if you were like used a handgun regularly, you might be able to work it out because like handguns, what do they have like? 17 clips or something in them.
Is that the clip is the whole thing, and it's
the clip is the whole thing. It's bullets. Yeah, that's
no
it.
Rounds. Yeah, a bullet's got rounds. Yeah, more than yeah.
I think it's somewhere between like 10, 10 and 17. So yeah, I think if you have little guns a lot, I think you can probably tell the difference. Yeah,
because that's those kind of handguns with the magazine. It is it's like. I think so. Sort of
I don't even know how big a round is. Really, is it like?
Well, it depends on the caliber of the bullet.
Nine millimeter diameter. That's the
which is pretty small, as we all know. I have a rule handy,
not to be confused with a ruler.
No. Exactly. So you know,
two different things.
Just about where the end of my finger is there is 9 millimeters. You know?
You've got quite big fingers.
I have. It's difficult to play the guitar with them as well. That's a problem. Especially since I got arthritic and these bend. That's not an optical illusion or me holding my finger sideways. Well, I can demonstrate it with the front. That makes
mine,
no sense.
Mine started out bendy. Right.
Mine's are a bit bendy anyway, but they've got worse.
Also, I've got bendy little fingers, and my mum always used to say, do you remember the TV show The Invaders?
Oh, very vaguely.
It was an old TV show that was rerun during my childhood, but the way you could tell the aliens, because they pretended to be humans in that show, was they had bendy little fingers. So my mum always said that. Jokingly, I knew it was a joke. Like, she wasn't actually calling me an alien.
No, she found out that you'd been replaced.
It's true. Maybe I'm an actual alien. That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah, So basically, Amos, I'm hearing myself back now.
Are you?
Yep.
I'm on your phone.
It's definitely coming back from. It does sound very.
It doesn't sound your phone, like.
Right. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I was too close to the microphone again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. That's fine. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. Okay. This one, I'm too close. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You put the microphone in your mouth, not your ear.
Yeah, if I put it in my mouth, you hear my fucking breathing. That's the problem.
It's your nose that breathes.
It is my nose, yeah. But my nose is close to my mouth.
You should just try using your microphone properly like the rest of us. Get good. What is it, Danny? Do better.
Yeah.
That's it.
Do better.
But if I put it here, like in front of me, I can't see the screen.
Well, that's what you get for buying a shit microphone.
It is fucking huge.
I mean, mine's is over here. You know,
I'm sorry. I can't hear you because I can't see you.
Because you can't see me. Yeah. I used to not be able to hear when I put sunglasses on.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah,
yeah, it's like pushing the wrong way or something.
There's a thing that used to go around. Is people's posts when stoned, and one of them says they were so stoned that they had to turn the TV down so they could taste their macaroni. And I'm like, I totally I get that. Yeah.
That's.
Wow. I remember a friend of mine was, and he said it was a friend of a friend sort of thing, but he was trying to light. He said there was one guy trying to light a cigarette by running really hot water, and he's like, it must be hot enough to light this cigarette by now. It's really hot.
That's the kind of when I remember getting in stoned once and really wanting a cup of tea, and I had milk in my tea at that time, but we didn't have any milk, and I was like, what's the next thing to milk? Butter. So I put butter in my tea.
People do put butter in their tea.
I've seen a thing, they eat coffee more often. I've seen people put butter in coffee. Well, when I put butter in tea, it was disgusting. It just melts and floats to the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you just get the
liquid butter and then your tea.
Yeah, there you go. Like, anyway, on that was an interesting tangent. what to make of it, I'm not sure, but there you go. So, he's gone again. Hang on. Mm-hmm. We'll wait for him. Wait for him to come back because he's going to have something to say about this next bit, I guarantee you. There he is. He's coming. Oh, is he plugged back in? Oh, no, he's putting them back over his ears, right? Okay.
There we go.
We need to get you an extendable cable.
I know.
I've got buckets of the things here. I can just send you one if you want it. It's not a big deal.
Where it goes is a bit awkward.
I'm tempted to buy you a decent microphone as well, but you'll just fuck it all up, you know.
Oh, I will. Yeah, like a day. Yeah.
So the sort of end part of that story of the Eric and Amos thing is that he arranges for Charles to stay in the flat for the rest of his days, basically, which is all he wanted. That's what he went to Eric for. And Eric's like, that's really all you wanted? Yeah.
And then Eric's like, if we ever see you again, I love you, but if we ever see you again, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, if ever set foot on the planet or in Baltimore, is it in Baltimore or on the planet? I can't remember how big the threat was. Yeah.
So the question is there something like... So it seems like Amos and Eric they have like a shared history, and if Amos's history comes to light in the community, does that jeopardizes Eric, I assume, in one way or another.
I think it would, in a way. Yeah, probably does. Possibly. It's a bit of a house more... of cards, isn't it? But he does say that you know the Amos Burton ID will just not hold up if you get arrested down here. You're screwed.
Yeah.
And even Christian says, "I'm not bailing you out if you end up in jail." You know. So that brings me to the that was a segue. That's one of those professional things. That segues nicely into the end.
Doesn't count as a segue if you lampshade it.
He's using even cleverer words than me. Cleverer terms than I am. Yeah. So once he leaves, you know, the area, he calls her Chrissy once again. I don't think she likes that. She's made it clear she fucking doesn't. So he phones Christian Avasarala, and he says that he wants another favour. He wants to arrange to see someone.
Whomst could that be, Christopher?
Whomst could it be, Christopher?
Oh,
yes,
is it? So hang on. Who was? Could it be? Oh man.
I'll give you some options. LeBron James, Stalin, or Charlie Brown.
I'll give you a clue. It's none of them.
Who was the woman? What was the woman's name that he was like looking at on the screen? Like the one that took him under his wing. Was that not the woman?
That's Lydia. She's dead.
That's the dead one. Yeah.
That's the dead one. Ah, right.
So who would he want to see that he would need special permission to get to see?
The Queen.
On Earth. Who's come back to Earth from our story and might be in a place where they're not allowed to see people on a normal, regular basis?
I think it's actually better if Chris.
Oh, hang on a minute.
This is great. This is better than when we wind up. Clarissa Mao, yeah, Peaches. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's better. This is better than when we wind them up. This is just make them think about something. It's like so much fun.
I like this. I've not seen this Chris thinking pose before.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of guess that that doesn't happen, obviously, in this episode, but that's what he asks for. We guess.
Stuff I love is coming up.
Okay.
Because he's obsessed with this woman.
I love Clarissa.
Yeah.
But again, at Chris's point, I didn't. She was an asshole. Mm.
I think the way that we've talked about it and her, the situation and her, has kind of like, because you drew my attention to the fact that they would have been on a ship together for quite some time.
Yeah, on the way back whilst that on the Rosalante in between series, the belt, not the belt, further than the belt, the rings.
Illus.
Well. Well, she wasn't at Illus. That was afterwards. I'm confusing myself.
The ring.
Yeah, it's from the ring space. Yeah. It's in the ring space. That's it.
The general ring area.
You made that dirty.
Speaking of dirty, my bathroom was filthy. I kept putting off cleaning it and kept putting off cleaning it. And when I emptied you get a mop and bucket, and when you empty the water, it was, the water was absolutely disgusting.
I like those bathrooms that they have in foreign places. I've seen them on television where, it's just the whole room is tiled, including the floor. Sluice it down. Like, why don't we all do that?
I asked for that when they refitted my bathroom, but they said no. You only get that if you've got special physical needs.
Because then you don't even need a toilet.
Oh, and see, I knew he was going to. I knew. As soon as he started talking about this, I thought this is going to go somewhere slightly more sinister by the end. But I kind of thought, maybe he just means it'd be easier to clip. No, he fucking didn't. yeah. As Chris says, you can get your computer in one corner, you could just stand there the whole time and just everything just going and left. Yeah, blah 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 blah, blah blah. Oh, sorry, excuse me a second. Yep, that one needed a bit of extra work. Yeah.
That's the dream.
That's the dream. Yeah. Well, just get you a couple of tubes. You know, just.
The internet is just a series of tubes.
Yeah. It doesn't go anywhere.
I just
it's
think
like a foot long.
Yeah. No, I just think we should get you three tubes, you know, and just don't mix up the anyone with either of the outies, you know. You'd be all right, yeah. Right, there's an interesting little bit. Well, I don't know if you want to go straight to this whole storyline or not, but There's an interesting line that I noted from an early part of the Tycho Station stuff, which is Fred and guy whose name I've forgotten now. Fuck.
Oh, asshole guy. Yeah. I hate him.
Oh, I forgot his name. That's annoying me now.
He's a bit overly. I mean, the first thing he says is, my dick's too big.
Yeah, like, you know what your problem is? Oh, my dick's too big. Shut the fuck up, man. I'm being serious here. Yeah. But one of the things he says to Fred is interesting. Mm. And it's like, yeah, the problem with you is you think an underdog means they're the good guy.
Mm-hmm. Which I like as a line. Yeah.
It's a good line, that one, yeah.
It did always bother me as a kid, actually, when the FA Cup, like my dad was a bit into football.
Right. Sorry, that went, what?
Well, sport in general, my dad was a bit into football, my mum was a little bit into football, but they'd watch the FA Cup. That was it at that time. That's people, families watched the FA Cup, right, when it was on. Mm-hmm. And they would always support the underdog. And that always felt a bit odd to me. Like, I get it, of course, emotionally, as humans, we are sort of predisposed that way. But it's like, you know, support the one. Like, we always want the best one to lose.
You know, it's very British, like, isn't it? Because in America, it's all, you know, the other way around.
Well, there was that thing on the Olympics that struck me at the time. I probably said this before, but I think it was Michael Johnson, who was an ex-US sprinter, very successful ex-US sprinter. And he was in the on the BBC commentary talking about the Olympics. And the British people, they just had a race where a British person came in second and they were celebrating it. We got silver, you know, really celebratory. And then one of the British commentators said to Michael Johnson, he said, why do you think Britain doesn't get so many golds? And Michael Johnson just went, because you celebrate silver. And I think that's true. Like, I would rather be Britain and celebrate silver.
Yeah, because if you don't get gold, you're always fucking, you're just disappointing yourself constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't, not but everybody you, can be, is, getting a place if, is a if, good thing, you know, but.
If you want excellence, if your goal is to have excellence, then yeah, you've got to not celebrate second, not celebrate gold, you know, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, but how many more people get burned out and destroyed doing that?
Oh, no, for sure, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, again, in this context, I always bring up that film, the film about the drummer, what's it called?
The drummer who's.
Push Whiplash, yeah.
I've not actually seen it, but I keep meaning to watch
very,
it.
Very good film, and the person
who kept banging on at me and recommending it to me annoyed me. I can't remember who it was.
It's probably
no, it was no, it was somebody more peripheral.
Maybe it was very good. Yeah. And it asks the question, like, if this is the cost of excellence, is it worth it, kind of thing? And it doesn't answer the question, it genuinely just asks the question.
Yeah, well,
I do think it's an interesting question.
Yeah. The thing is with that sort of line of thinking is, if you're not the best at the world, then you might as well not get out of bed in the morning. The chances of you being the best in the world are slim.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
So why even bother getting
out of bed? Yeah, why do anything? Why do anything?
Well, that's where I go with a lot of stuff. Like, when I think about, like, I could write something.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be fun. Like, what's the point? There's much better writers than me. But no, I think if we want an elite at things, you know, art, I'm talking the arts generally, like, and sports and things like that. If we want an elite, if we want people who absolutely fucking excel, if that's the cost, is it worth it? But you can still do things on an amateur basis and not have that pressure.
I mean, you know how I feel about, like, sports and shit like that anyway. Like,
what about things like, you know, ballet, music, you know, things where, yeah, if you want to be.
Well, see, the thing is, that's not
a competition.
Art-wise, it's not a competition. You can have two different bits of music and you can enjoy both of them. Or you can watch.
No, but if you want, like, I mean, in Whiplash, it's jazz, which has become a very. I mean, yeah, there's jazz that's very improvisational and, you know, just vibe based. But then, yeah, the top tier of jazz is like classical music. It's very sort of.
Oh my God, they had improvised jazz on Radio 3 the other day and it was just awful. It just.
Jazz is one of those divisive things. Like, you either love it. I like jazz.
I like non-improv jazz. Like,
But if you'd said to me, "Would you want to hear some improvised jazz?" I'd be like, "Yeah." But I made friends with a lady who plays the trombone. I made friends with her online, and she plays the trombone, and she's a friend of Stuart Lee's, which is. It's a complicated chain of events that led me to this woman, anyway, because he bangs on about improvised jazz as well. Anyway. And this lady does this. It's her and a drummer on one of her albums. So it's a trombone and a drums. And it is, it's really proggy. That's why I like it. I got into it because it was quite proggy rather than because it was, you know, it just, yeah, sometimes these things just work.
But I do think if you want people who excel at very refined forms, that you do essentially have to beat the humanity out of them. It's like making soldiers. If you want them to be really fucking good, then they have to suffer and their life will be
dehumanizing.
Shit. Yeah.
Anyway, his name's Bull, the guy that says the underdog line.
But
Drew's
like
leaning into the mic again.
like people that make films aren't brutalized like that, are they? I mean, maybe
some of them do to themselves.
That's a different thing. I think at the top tier of sport or like classical music or, you know, that kind of jazz, I think there's a right way to do it. And that right way to do it takes, you know, many, many thousands of hours of practice. There's no room for, you know, whereas a director, it's like, well, I feel, you know, it's coming more from feel. It's not like this is how you make a film in this very exacting way and I've got to do it exactly right. It's not a practice-based thing in that sense.
Mm. Well, that's when you take a lot of the humanity out of music, I think, when you've got this kind of, it must be this, this, and that. You know, that's, and a lot of classical music does that. Mm.
See, I know I do love those reforms. I don't think it's worth it in terms of the cost to people, but it is.
Ballerinas and stuff. Another example. They go through, you know.
Yeah, ballerinas.
And the other thing is, like, ballerinas are particularly bad because then they get tossed in the scrap heap in their mid-20s with
legs. Yeah. Gymnasts and a lot of sports.
Yeah, gymnasts. Yeah, they're all, because they start them when they're, gymnasts particularly, they get started when they're teenagers and they're still flexible and they're still growing. You know, a lot of these kids are still growing. And you see these, like, you know, these kids doing these amazing things. You know, oh, that's amazing. But then, you know, by the time they're 20, they're like completely ruined. You know.
But I mean, another extreme example is castratos in opera, right? Mm. Where they would take young boys, castrate them, so that it maintains that they become adults, but they maintain that pitch of voice that nobody else really can hit.
Yeah.
And you get that very specific voice that you can't otherwise get, like, you know,
that's kind of awful. That's a bit like cannibalism, really, isn't it?
It's like wrapping the feet in the Asian Asian countries or something, you know, they do that kind of thing and all that. It's like,
yeah, no, there's a lot of things there that to
create something that is beautiful to others, you know.
Yeah, but they don't get the choice, though. That's the problem.
Hang on a minute. If you find something that someone has been tortured for to be beautiful, does that not say something about the enjoyer?
Well, but it's consensual.
It's true. What do you expect?
It's not torture because it's consensual.
But it's not consensual. How can a little kid consent to something like that?
I'm not necessarily talking about the castratos, but ballerinas and the same thing. How can a kid?
Most of them are pressurized into it, though.
Yeah,
really. Whenever you hear any story about them, they've all, you know.
But there are certain people who would say, "No, I want to do this. I want to self-sacrifice to create something beautiful."
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's admirable, but there is a consent question for sure.
Especially when they start so young. That's the thing. Is that ballerinas always started when they were 12.
Mozart is a good example. His life was hell. He was abused to all fuck by his parents. He was treated like a machine. His parents, you know, worked him to death. He was mentally completely fucked up and created some of the most beautiful music the world's ever seen. You know, like.
See, I'm going to probably say something that's going to. It's some argument I'm sure people have made before. In fact, I know it's an argument people have made before, but I also question some of this stuff in as much as music was before recorded music, there was a lot of difficulty actually knowing exactly how to interpret, and sheet music is far too open to interpretation for my liking because it doesn't necessarily tell you everything. There's a lot of instructions added, you know, these little notes and stuff that are added to things. But, you know,
there's bits in sheet music and classical music that basically just says, you know, and play some notes here that make sense.
And
it's up to, but that's where the training and skill of the performer comes in. Yeah. Like, they know how to interpret that in a way that is consistent with everything that, and there's different interpretations, which is why it's popular. You know,
but transcribing, I mean, this is why it's so difficult. You get people who are experts at transcribing stuff, and they'll pick up, like, you know, say for argument's sake, the Beatles or something, and they'll pick out, you know, all the strings and everything from a song and the guitar and everything. But even now, people don't know how a lot of the sounds were made at the time. And of course, in the studio, they just went, "Oh, that sounds good. Let's keep that because it's been recorded now." You know, and it makes me think that sheet music can't possibly capture enough to get the full story.
I don't know any of this factually, but like presumably most musical instruments made hundreds of years ago were not as high quality as the ones that we use today.
Well, some are, but that's another thing is tuning as well, because the way we use changed over time, and also it can be different than what you have to actually. Mm. This is the thing that doesn't get put down in a lot of transcriptions, but where the A note is usually where they start. So if you've got a tuner, it'll be A equals 440 hertz, and that's taken to be that's an A. It's 440 hertz is an A. 880 hertz is A1 and so forth, something like that. Anyway, octaves. But the point is that a lot of stuff was written not within that exact framework as well. Mm. So the notes are relative, but then some stuff starts to drift as well. So there's a lot of silly little things.
For me, the reason that doesn't matter is it's not like an exact. It's not about exactly reproducing like written music isn't like a recording, and it isn't for exactly reproducing.
Yeah,
there is a degree.
It's more like a MIDI file than it is a recording.
Yeah.
Trying to explain to people that MIDI doesn't have any music in it is quite a challenge sometimes.
But it's up to the individual musicians and the conductor, it's a negotiation almost into like how are we interpreting this piece, and that's part of why you need so much fucking training to be good at that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I kind of have a soft spot for C6 Steve, because he's just got like a fucking...
I thought you were saying C6, and a C6 yeah. rather, and I thought, the really quite a high C?
my dad loved him, and like all his albums.
Yeah, because he strings up a broom or whatever it is and just goes...
Well, that's relative, and that's the thing as well. It's relative as well. And I mean, that's another thing to note about musical instruments. A lot of stringed instruments don't have frets.
Yeah, which is amazing. Mm. Yeah,
so, yeah. I don't even get that. Like cellos and stuff.
The Chinese one, which has a very long fretboard, but you just got to know where those. And it's never perfect. I linked a video.
A really well made, modern guitar or whatever.
Because modern pop vocalists are. It's not auto tune. It's pitch corrected. So they nail them exactly to the perfect frequency of the notes, and it makes it sounds inhuman. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever heard someone read something or like a video online where there's a voice, and you're not sure if that voice is a AI generated or an actual person because they've got such a monotone voice?
A couple of times,
like either AI is getting better or there are some people out there that read.
Yeah, I think AI is getting better, and there's some people who, as you say, read in a very monotone kind of, or a very not necessarily monotone because AI can do tones.
I'll tell you the last thing right. So there's a YouTube channel. Don't ask. Right. It's called The Queen of Afternoon Tea. It's this American lady, and she reviews all these afternoon teas. Right.
You have got too much time on your fucking hands. I mean, she's got way too much time on her hands, but you're even worse.
If you put all this time you spent watching these videos into becoming a concert violinist.
So, I mean, to be fair, she churns out a lot of videos. But I always question that her voice is obviously, it's not, obviously what she says is scripted, but like it's such a consistent way of talking that there is a part of me that thinks, is this AI generated?
I mean, you can train an AI on a particular voice, and then if you're that kind of content creator, and like, I mean, you can AI generate the script, AI generate the voice, and then just like slap a video on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, TikTok's awash
for that. People want soulless content. Yeah. But the other thing as well is you can, if you edit things enough, it can start to sound inhuman. I don't mean like deliberately editing mid-word or something like, but if you edit stuff too tight and you don't put the right sort of natural sounding spacing in, it can sound like that as well.
Mm. Oh yeah, because sometimes they're like in Audacity, you can auto remove gaps in speech.
Yeah.
And if you do that, if you do that,
yeah, listen to that back, it sounds really weird.
Sounds like somebody who's forgotten to breathe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Unlike Drew.
Drew loves good breathing. Do you know
well, I don't know. It's very dark in there. I wonder if that's if he starts going.
He's Mac the Soviet Henry AI
style, That was a great that because everybody thought that was computer generated.
Max Headroom, yeah. You talk about?
Yeah, yeah, but it's a latex head and it's editing and stuff. But I mean, this is there's like a lot of stuff that isn't computer generated, and it amazes you when looking back on it that an artist managed to sit and draw some of that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate the fact now that I look at a picture I like and I immediately go to check the signs of AI. Like, it's broken me. It means I can't.
Part of that,
I can't enjoy something with the same gay abandon I used to, because there's a part of me that thinks, am I literally just enjoying, like,
I just imagine
fumes?
Chris dancing through the house with, like, pictures going,
that's what my
gay
life
abandon
used to
makes
be like.
It sound like bouncing around happy, you know.
That was me before AI.
Oh, right, okay. Well, the other thing that this is something that people shush me about all the fucking time, but I totally stand, I'll die on these two hills. One of them is picture quality on phones, and the other one is audio quality from compression and stuff. They do matter, and they certainly matter generationally as well. It's when stuff's been redone, because people resize things and what have you, and people say, well, you know, it's a digital copy is an exact copy. Well, no, it's not. Not if you've resized or cropped or whatever, you've done something to that, and then people look at it on the same size screen again, you know, they'll look at it again on a computer screen, or more likely some sort of fucking phone or whatever. And the artifacts in JPEG and stuff are fucking awful.
No, that's fine. You just get AI to upscale it.
Do you know, there was a video on YouTube where, God, how many of my stories start with that? where a guy, I think he re-uploaded the same video to YouTube like 1,000 times, and it was cursed.
Oh, I like that. Just
more and more re-encoding and more. But then again, the thought is it's like that is the really arse about face way to do it, because you can just do FFmpeg again and again.
You could have just left it running. Okay, anyway, we were talking about Bull. That's it. Bull. So Bull's the guy that says the underdog good guy thing. And where does that take us to? Oh yeah, Monica's kidnapped.
Yes.
I've actually done that. Look.
Well, is that that introductory line?
Where is it?
Where Monica? Monica calls Holden, and Monica says, "I've not been entirely honest with you."
And he goes, "Oh, that's shocking." That's a shock.
I laughed even before he reacted. I laugh at that line because that's
He's like, "Oh, Monica's been Monica the weird
the reporter."
What's the word I'm looking for? Not honest. There's a word I'm looking for that means not honest.
Dishonest?
No. There's a word. There's a more euphemistic.
Duplicitous?
Yeah, that's okay. That's a bit more harsh. Than
carousel?
Bananas. That's it. Anyway, so Monica, Monica the reporter, yeah. And it's I've got the whole journey there, like, from like, oh no, it's that, and then that, and then later it's you save. Anyway, so it's so we've got a whole needle in a haystack thing, and then, you know, they start thinking the clever ways that maybe the audience is thinking, but one of them will be warm because it's got someone in it and an atmosphere, and they scamper that, and then what they find first is.
Soil,
which is clever. That's clever because I like those little details. That's one of those things where they show the signs of things. You know, obviously soil is living, so alive soil. You know, he calls it. Which they
with microbes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or possibly vermicular life forms as well. Who knows?
Oh, actually, compost. If you ever see compost, a compost bin in the coldest parts of winter, steam will rise.
Steam will rise, for sure. So we then find, from this scene as well, we find out there's a mole on... I think we heard there was a mole on Tycho in the previous episode, but it's more obvious.
I mean, the mole probably going to be in that live soil.
you beat me to it, damn it. No. I was going to make that joke just then. I thought, where's the mole? It's in the soil, obviously, digging.
A very, very quick anecdote. So you've met Katya, right?
Yep, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was my ex a while back. And one day, she's Russian, and one day she was telling me about how annoying it is in the winter when moles eat your clothes.
What?
And she lived in Siberia. I was like, sorry, what? Moles eat your clothes? She's like, yeah, you know, moles, they come into your house, get into your wardrobe, and they eat your clothes. And took me, it was a bit of back and forth where I realized she meant moths.
Yeah, that's yeah. what I thought she must have meant as well. Yeah, it's like, she's
yeah, mean, no, the idea.
Or I thought, what, is the ground so frozen that they come indoors?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
Oh, she makes a mountain out of a moth hill. Yeah, so we get more information, because we had a sort of vague thing about mentioned background, but now there's more clear evidence that there's some sort of mole on Tycho. Messing with things and bypassing securities and all that sort of stuff.
Do you reckon that they used cables when she was in zero G in that container?
Oh, they must have done, because she does all that sort of.
Don't reckon they really filmed it in space.
No, I'm sorry. I keep
to be honest, because there are some scenes in that where I actually think that it's kind of convincing.
Well, it's supposed to be this, you know, it's that kind of show. But also, yeah, maybe they did it with
well, when Alex was doing flips in the thing in the Rossinanti like a couple of series ago when he didn't have
it. Yeah, it didn't look great, did it?
It looked very. Mm. I mean, the more I analyze it,
or maybe she's just better at doing the wire work. You know, the actress. Mm.
Yeah,
she has a nicer maybe bottom than Alex. Maybe that's what distracted you.
Bottom tier list.
Nice bottom. I'm just looking to see if I've got any more about this particular. Yeah, I have in a bit. So the reason they find the reason they find that she's sending out a feed. Is the two, Bull and Fred, are sort of chatting Holden turns around, looks at the table and sees Monica's little, you know, personal organizer phone thing, and he goes, huh, and then he pushes a button on it and he gets this feed because it's coming in, you know, there's a feed coming in, and you know, and literally Fred says to him, Jesus Christ, that's really how you go through life, isn't it?
press the button,
yeah. And he does, you know, he does it with all the proton molecule stuff as well.
I love that line.
It was a good one.
Yeah, well, if it all goes wrong, we just nuke it.
So all the scenes of that build up the story that there is a mole on Tycho, breaking past security things all over the place. But in the end, they do find Monica and save her because she actually punctured her own air seal on the canister, and that's what saved her, which is ironic.
Yeah,
because it's also what almost killed her.
Because when she does that, I feel so bad for her. Like, she's trying to do the right thing, you know, she's prizing this door open, and then oh fuck, we're in space. really feel for her in that moment.
Just bad to worse. So my question then for Christopher, mm-hmm. any ideas who the mole might be?
I mean,
and I want to say Drew, say fuck all. You hear me? Don't react. Don't say something to be misdirected. Just, you know.
I want to say Bull because he's the untrustworthy one that we've been set up with. But
have you considered Fred Johnson?
See, I told him not to do these things.
I don't know. I'm guessing either Bull or. Yeah, or the reporter, maybe. No.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to tell you.
Not wittingly.
I mean, it's a big thing to find out in this series. Obviously, it's part of the arc. But I just wondered if you had any early contenders out of all the characters on Tycho. Because there's quite a few on Tycho. A lot of work people
I mean, I know Bull's like the one you're the one you're supposed to think almost.
But isn't he looking for the mole?
Exactly.
Mm. Mm.
I mean, they haven't found the mole, so.
Ah. Well, it's in Katia's wardrobe, in her clothes. Right. Okay.
One thing that when they were fixing up the Rossinanti,
that fucking noise banging all the way through the ship—that's brilliant.
And then Holden brings one of the engineer lady two cups of. Some sort of drink, tea.
Well, I think he brings a cup for her and a cup for him.
he cu- yeah, yeah. Now, and then she just, yeah, like, so this doesn't make sense to me, the gravity side of it, right? Because these are not sippy cups like this, right, which keeps the liquid in, right?
No, they're adult cups for adults.
Yeah, yeah. They're adult cups. Right. Except, like, he's just moving them around as if there's... I
hate that scene for two reasons. First of all, like, okay, please, either when you make a TV show or a film, put liquid in the cups, please.
Yes, yes.
Actors cannot fucking act taking a sip. I don't know why. Is it a really fucking... Either we need to do like a month in acting school teaching people how to drink from... Yeah. Or because she doesn't swallow. The problem is she takes a sip and then she immediately talks. Yeah, she doesn't swallow.
People always do that. They go... Blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
So annoying. It should go. And then also
that'd be funny if somebody did do that. oh fuck! I forgot to drink something. You know?
Also, and this isn't just her. This isn't singling out her. This is every fucking actor and everything. Yeah. First of all, act like the cup has some weight to it when you move it. Yeah. Take a realistic sit where you're taking a gulp. And don't gesture with the cup like this after you've just taken a sip from it, like, which is what she does. She's like gesturing, like,
Well, you know, she's not a long-time cast member either, so.
Yeah.
Maybe the regulars are better. Maybe the regulars at it are better, you know. the regulars are better at it.
It's just, I mean, I think I am not a trained actor. I think I could do a more realistic fake fucking sip than that.
Mm. Or they could just give them a sippy cup.
Yeah, and then
there you go.
I mean, I know it's not the most important thing for telling the story. It doesn't really matter. But if you have a cup in a scene, what I really don't understand is why they don't just put water in. I mean, I know it's probably a bit of hassle on set, you know, people knock it, but it's fucking worth it. Just put water in the fucking cups,
or put a bit of a weight in the bottom of it. Stick a bit of metal, or, you know.
I mean, presumably, when people are having glasses of drink, they do it with glasses of drink.
Yeah, they must do it. Yeah, because you can see it. Yeah,
yeah.
But you'll notice they hardly ever do that in things, or they'll hardly ever actually drink. You'll not see them drink out of the thing when it's their turn to talk. That's another thing. You'll see people drink out of a glass cup when it's the other person's line. That's when you see it. You know.
But Amos and Eric had a drink, you know, of, I assume, cold tea.
It's the Expanse. It's probably bourbon. It's probably real bourbon.
I remember reading about Bewitched, the TV show Bewitched. They used to shoot, like, several episodes, like, maybe, like, four or five episodes in a day in front of a live audience. And all of the drinks in the show were real. So by the time you got to the fifth episode, they, like slurring their lines and stuff. Yeah, them were the days.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I find it a little bit unbelievable that people just go, whiskey, that's nice, like it's water.
I like whiskey. I can understand beer. I don't understand beer. Beer is disgusting. Anybody go, oh, that's nice and refreshing.
No, I mean, whether or not you like whiskey, it still doesn't go down like water unless you're like
expensive whiskey does.
Oh, maybe I've never had expensive
whiskey. Yeah, no, expensive whiskey can be quite smooth. Yeah, any cheap whiskey is rough as fucking shit. But I actually kind of like the rough. I like it's not whiskey.
He likes
bourbon,
it. Drew likes it rough. We all know that.
He always likes the rough.
I like Wild Turkey bourbon, which feels like fucking sandpaper going down. It's lovely. But yeah, a really expensive whiskey is a lot smoother, or at least can be. Yeah.
Well, I like how Amos just takes the bottle off the desk. He's like,
no, I'm actually not. No, one more thing, I'm having that.
Yeah, you enjoyed it. Yeah,
yeah. Right. So Alex, he's actually not too terrible in this series,
but he's still ironic,
given, you know,
they're essentially Geordi LaForging him, where like he just striking out with women constantly. Which I kind of enjoy. Just, being used by women for... Hamish has become Peanut.
Well, we're both looking at the window because there's noises. I've got the window open. I'm going to shut the window. Bear with me a second. I get your George the Forge reference, though.
Good. Oh, no, Chris has gone as well.
No, it's all right. I'm here.
They're having a secret meeting without me.
Someone at my window, I was just checking.
It was my neighbour knocking mud off his boots.
Ah.
Yeah, so Alex just striking out with women is something I enjoy as a new trope in the show.
But before we get to that, Alex first comes in, to, because, well, yeah, he's already been to see his ex in the last episode and been told to go forth. His kid's basically like, yeah, sure, Dad, on the video phone. You know, we hear Cats in the Cradle playing in the background. So he ends up joining Bobby and Abed Sarala's little operation, effectively.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd want him.
No.
Well, he's got an end to that Admiral guy, and that's why they use
kind,
him, isn't it?
Kind of, but then sort of, the Admiral guy is kind of like, who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you? Well, no, he knows who he is. And but that's actually quite a good bit of story. Although, again, Kamal, Kaz Anwar, doesn't play it very well. He doesn't really give the performance that makes it come across. It's like, oh, actually, the sort of reluctant hero thing is what he's meant to He's meant to realise he's a reluctant hero. And it just kind of goes, he's just a bit flat.
I think that's okay, because I think that's the character. The character is actually bubbly. Like, he's the one, when he goes into bars, who tells them the exploits they've been up to and that kind of thing. That's who he is. He's not the reluctant hero. He's the very much I'm the fucking hero hero.
So you're talking about Alex now, right?
Yeah, the character, I think, is pretending to be like, oh, no, it was nothing.
So it's false modesty sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I do... Can I... Before we get on to narrative stuff, I do have a controversy. It might be the controversy of this season. Like, the nailing to the wall thing.
I thought you were going to say the controversy was about the coffee, really. I thought that was the big one.
No, that's just fucking annoying.
That's just a side note,
So we all agree on that.
That's true,
Dickhead lecturer is giving his lecture about the asymmetry of defending the ring space. I think he's wrong. I don't think that is asymmetrical. So his point is that two forces going through one ring, that's symmetrical, right?
Yeah, that's the point he makes.
Whereas one force inside the ring space defending multiple holes, that's symmetrical.
And I think that's bullshit as well. And I think you're going to give you give your reasoning. I can still hear you. Well, I'm just going to switch your light on. When you go.
So say there's 1,800 rings. Mm-hmm. If you've got 1,800 forces attacking you through those rings at the same time, that is not a symmetrical conflict. You cannot defend all of those rings equally at the same time. Yeah, you can defend them asynchronously. Yep. If all of the attacks are asynchronous, then it is an asynchronous a strategic situation, but if they're all being attacked at the same time, asymmetrical, then that is not asymmetrical.
Well, the other point that he doesn't consider with this, I'd love to take this guy out in a battle because it'd be so easy. Brilliant admiral, fucking idiot. The other point he doesn't really take into account is that you don't know when something's coming through the ring. There's no big flashing lights or anything. It's a vast space, the ring space as well. So yeah, if you had a huge fleet, you could probably react to things, but you're not, you know.
Yeah, if things are coming in one by one, and that is the same as defending one to one, even two at once, then that is no longer, you've no longer.
But it depends where you take the target to be. If the target is the Earth ring. To get back to, or the soul ring to get back to, fair enough, you've got a point. You can have your back against it, as it were.
Yeah,
that makes it sort of true, but not really. You know, as you say, the overwhelming.
He's just a prick because he's just berating his students for knowing what they were taught in the previous lesson. That's annoying.
Oh, you learned something that you should have learned. Well done.
Yeah, you learned what we told you in the last lecture. What a fucking idiot.
Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah. It's,
but he's obviously a cock monkey, and we're not meant to like
him. He's a prick. He's a prick.
So
that wasn't controversial. We're going to have to search for a new controversy.
Yeah, we're all agreeing with things. This is terrible.
I don't know the asymmetrical thing.
Here we go. Like, Chris is going
to... Like...
He's going to spice it up.
It's a bit like, It's still a matter of balancing it, right? Like, if you hold the ring space, you could probably still do it with a relatively smaller force.
Relatively smaller, yeah. You could react, but there's no guarantee where things are going to come from.
Yeah,
unless you know where everybody is already. If you know, if you have perfect information about who went through what gate and how much, you know, what size the forces are and stuff, you can sort of do that. But the way he portrays it is just inaccurate. He doesn't say that. He doesn't talk about information. He's given a half a lesson with a tenth of the information, basically. He's not really... He tries to make something an absolute, and it's not. You know, there's too many variables in that.
His essential point is, if you're defending a single ring, then the two forces are essentially equal. So that's, you know, it's a decent defense. And if you're inside the ring space defending all of the rings, then that's like defending all of the rings equally at the same time in that symmetrical way, which is an asymmetrical advantage. But that only applies if people are coming through one by one.
And if you've got a big enough force to defend the huge amount of space. There's too many variables for that. The way he put it forward was just grossly inaccurate.
Yeah, I think
he could have qualified it, but he was standing there being all like, "I'm the man, I know everything," and he was missing out a lot of information. But they
we'll
were
be
all
writing
like,
for the Martian strategy school for answers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go, motherfuckers.
And also, yeah, like how he cracks his little jokes just fucking annoys me.
He's a dick. He's a dick. Yeah, he's kind of lecturer you don't want to fucking have.
Yeah,
he strikes me as a guest lecturer, right? Like, does he?
I don't think so. I think they say that's his job.
That's one of his jobs. Yeah, he worked on a small military role and doing that. That's his two things. He approves transfers or something at some office. That's why he's rubber stamped loads of transfers. Yeah. Anyway, I suspect more will come of all that shit as we go on. But
I think he'll die tripping out of his way out of the lecture theatre.
Right, and we get he's obviously up to something because we immediately get the line that he gives his underling is, "Oh, find out why he's here." Other than just being a sycophant, you know? Or a show off, depending on which viewpoint you have, from what Drew said, you know. I can't remember if it's the episode or the next one. I want is okay.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to blur.
It's because it took so long for us to get back to this.
It's not usually important. It's not like big spoiler.
Yeah, it's not a spoiler, but basically he goes for a drink with the woman. Does that happen this episode?
I think that's next episode.
That's the next episode. Yeah.
Ah, right, okay. So let's not say anything. But he's arranged that in this episode, hasn't he?
That's what I was talking about when we're talking about Alex striking out.
So there's no point in discussing the details. But the details of that, in advance, we know that her and the Admiral are obviously in cahoots, as they say, because she says, he says, like, what is he doing here? And she says, find out what he's doing here. And she says, already on it. So they're obviously, in whatever it is they're up to, whether it's, the smuggling and selling stuff illegally or not, they're up to something, obviously.
Up to no good.
Up to no good. Right.
Avastrada gets a bit in this.
Okay, right. I'll come back to that, but then go for it.
Oh, no, you could go. What was the thing you were going
to
say?
No, I was just going to say it was just a little thing anyway. Just before the Avastrada bit, there's just a little bit of foreshadowing where one of the rocks that's still on target goes right past the spotter satellite and just completely ignores it. Just completely doesn't notice it.
I was first time through, I was so impatient for those rocks to fucking hit.
Yeah. It's like, do what you're meant to do or get blown up or whatever. Because one happens in the previous episode, it's like, oh, something's happening with them. Yay! There's action. Yeah. But, that rolls us back into what happened to Abbasidala as well. Mm. So the spotter satellite is completely oblivious. Yeah, that's it. That's all. Just a note on that. It's like even close range, relatively close range. Those asteroids or meteors. Yeah.
I'm hoping they hit. I'm looking forward to them. I don't know. Can't remember. But I'm hoping they hit.
Can't remember how many are left now. Is it about a dozen or something?
Like seven or something.
Oh, I thought it was more. Than that, yeah.
I think there's nine to start with. One's been taken out, so I think maybe eight.
I can't remember now.
Yeah, I can't remember.
The rock in the previous episode had a number, but I can't remember if this one did. Does it flash up a number, Chris?
Don't remember.
I don't think so. I'll check it a bit now. It just says like something like Thingy Sentinel.
Yeah, the Sentinel satellite or whatever, you know, asteroid spotter or something. That's the only thing it flashes up then. And then the rock just goes...
Yeah, UN Sentinel satellite asteroid spotter.
Yeah, which fails massively to spot a huge asteroid flying right past it because it's been stealthed. Okay, so we can get to Avasarala now then. Yeah, so I mean, she's shut out by Gao, which we already kind of had hinted at to mm-hmm. us from mm-hmm. the last episode. And
well, she's supposed to be doing paperwork on the moon.
And the Hassani incident gets completely downplayed. Obviously, Avasarala thinks there's a you know something sinister about it all. I didn't really put these dots together until later on myself. So, you know, fair enough, you could see how the politicians could sort of miss a lot of things. But now that we've got here as an audience, we know that, you know, join the dots, we've got that somebody attacked an early warning system.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's out looking at asteroid activity, or a science ship looking at asteroid activity, unexpected asteroid activity, has been destroyed and disappeared. You know, it's gone. You know, there's a lot of little dots to join together in this, and obviously there's all the stuff about Marco and Aros. You know, like he attacks that. You know, also connected to the spotter thing, as he used another ship to attack it and all this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of little things to put together, but you know, basically Avasarala gets shot down by Gao. And she says that's stretching.
I think a big factor in stuff like this, and I think this applies to real world situations.
Well, I think this is very. I think there's a very, very definite. I don't want to say, but they're very definitely sort of paralleling this with things like the pre 9/11 and stuff.
Because there was a lot
of warnings.
But I think what I was going to say is, I think a big factor is people just don't want extra work. Like if something comes across your desk and it's like, because everybody's getting different pieces of it, it's like, it's probably nothing, you know. You don't want to do the extra work, and perfectly understandable human
to some extent. Yeah, you know? Yeah, that was the thing I saw on your chat today about Ghosty saying, you know, about not wanting to make any extra effort for a job and everything. And I can understand
it,
but also it's like. It's the people that have got a bit of pride in their work still that the bosses just fucking laugh at and go, they're doing a good job.
And it's a shame. There could be, even under capitalism, there could be, you know, a more equitable relationship between, and that would be in their interest if you cared about your work.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
They're creating an environment where you'd have to be a fucking idiot to care about your work.
Yeah, it's just got worse and worse over the decades that I've been an adult. It's like almost any job is like... I wish I'd been much smarter when I was, obviously, when you're 17 or 18, you're not that smart, but I had a job, I worked for a government department, and what happened was you dealt with things that came in the post, so you would get, you know, so many pieces of mail, and that would be your job, your work for that day would be dealing with each inquiry or whatever that came through the post, and I was not doing very well, shall we say, and like, so this manager guy picks up like a pile of papers and goes, you know, I've counted each one of these and it works out, you know, you get paid X per document, you know, as if it's like, you know, because everybody gets paid the same on a scale anyway, so everybody knows what everybody's paid. Mm-hmm. Is it you got paid X, blah, 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 per document? Do you think that's really worth it? And what I really should have said is I think the fucking lot's worthless, which is what I thought. Not yet, it's all fucking worthless, you know, but, you know, that's it. It really isn't. It's such a fucking... Oh, and this was years ago before I got really cynical, you know?
So Gao doesn't necessarily write it off immediately. She does kick it back to...
She does ask Delgado, was this an Anaris thing? And it's like, oh, it's 50-50. And Avasarala immediately says, well, it's a bit more than 50-50. And he goes, yeah, negligibly over that or something like that. He doesn't want to stick his neck out, obviously. Sorry, wait for Drew to come back. Because I want to say something that's probably going to get more chat going.
Yeah.
But, so she's like, yeah, you're right. She doesn't shut her out completely. That's true, but she is kind of, she keeps putting her back in her box, basically, keeps putting her in her place and reminding her that she is just the you know,
the moon lady.
The moon lady, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who else is there. There's
two people that don't really say anything. Have you got pictures that tell you what they are? Because they look military as well, don't they?
Minister of Colonization is W. Vats, and Deputy Chief of Staff. Nope, sorry, Chief of Staff.
Right, okay. Whatever, that's an American thing. I don't really know what that is, to be honest.
I'm always a bit confused because I assumed that the Chief of Staff was just the guy that was like head of HR for the
but it's not. It's an in the line of succession thing for the president in America, isn't it? That's another thing about it. So many things that people that are in the line of succession in the presidential USA president thing are not elected officials. It's quite frightening, really, especially when you think about how easy it is for them to assassinate the presidents. You know.
Well, it's cabinet members, isn't it, who don't even have to be...
They don't have to be MP. Anything. Yeah, our MP. Do we have that as well, to some extent, don't we? We have some members who aren't MPs.
As we as we recently discovered with Lord Cameron, you don't actually have to be an MP to be a cabinet member.
No.
You can be a Lord.
Mm-hmm. I don't think even if...
Which seems a really bad organisation, considering they were supposed to split... There's supposed to be two split houses, you know? But I mean, it's all fucking corruption all the way down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but the one thing I was going to say about Delgado, that I was waiting for Drew to come back. I was being very polite, Drew. I was going to say that. Hello, who's that?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, just a young.
Also, on a young side lady note, delivering it was levelled at the time that you could arguably say that David Cameron's appointment to, I think it was Foreign Secretary at the time, as Lord Cameron, is that because he's a Lord, he cannot answer questions in the House of Commons.
Yes.
Ergo gives him kind of an out, you know, he doesn't have to explain himself.
Yeah, I heard that at the time. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Corruption all the way down.
Yeah.
But the Delgado relationship has got echoes of the relationship with Souther, I thought. Remember Souther?
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah, but a more sort of gung-ho version. Like, Souther was very sort of careful.
Yeah, he was too careful, probably.
He's a bit more of a cowboy.
It was probably his undoing being too careful. So she says thanks very much to Delgado for like not taking her side, but he does. He does kind of, you know, he's more he's as diplomatic in cabinet as the.
He plays it right because if he'd come fully,
because if he comes off and goes, oh yeah, then Gao's just going to, well, you're just Abbasarala's friend. You're going to say all this stuff, you know. But and he also, I think from the chat, he seems to be more willing to go and check things than Souther was.
Yeah.
You know? Which Souther took a long time to come to a realization, and then it cost him his life, basically.
It's a bit more politically. Sorry, Chris.
All Delgado can say is maybe. Like,
he couldn't really stick his neck out beyond the, 50-50.
I think Souther was one of those, like, didn't trust politicians and therefore didn't understand politics, whereas this dude understands he understands the role he's got to play if he wants to get shit done.
So he does, I think he does believe more about it, obviously, from the chat and stuff.
About
Hassani particularly. That's the one thing that's the big thing. I think I've gone through all my notes.
I jumped the gun last episode with, because it's this episode where they refer to the power armor as the Goliath suit, and in last episode I was like, why would you call anything Goliath? But
yeah, done that one. You've done that joke.
The dude who lost.
Yeah.
Who's history's greatest loser?
Don't know. It's hard.
It's the Neville Chamberlain defense plan, and I know Neville Chamberlain gets an unfair rap.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Neville Chamberlain's actions probably saved us.
Yeah.
Basically.
You're going to disagree? Eh? Well, this is a bit of an American one, but you might, and I know Drew's going to disagree with this, but Jimmy Carter.
He's a piece of shit. Why do you, what?
Yeah. But he was a one-term president, so he's like a loser.
No, he brought in he's the one. It gets blamed on Reagan, but he was the one who brought in neoliberalism. 100%. Also, he was a racist Southern Democrat. He's not at all what he's portrayed to be. Mm. It's like this, okay, just like, you know, folksy peanut farming liberal Democrat. He wasn't a liberal at all. He's very, very religiously motivated, which is why he does like the housing stuff and whatever. But he brought in neoliberalism. It was Reagan gets the blame for that. It was Carter. 100%. That is called the Volcker shock.
Didn't Jimmy Carter start USAID?
Which is a CIA money organization. You know, it's like they do some good, but yeah, it's yeah.
Peanut, go away. Go and lie down. You have to wait.
But he did put solar panels on the White House that Reagan
he
took
did,
down.
He did.
He took he them
did,
down.
Yeah. Well, give him that. One.
Yeah, Reagan took. Actually, some people
that's
credit...
the fucking problem. Especially, I'd say more Republicans than Democrats is they just go, hey, I'm taking that away because they put it.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, actually, some people attribute that action as the beginning of the owning the libs ideology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
like,
because
yeah,
it was so pointless.
Yeah,
like even if you don't think, you know, whatever, like they're still
yeah, it's not going to do any bloody harm. Yeah, it still works.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also a fundamental problem with a multi-party representative democracy in that, you know, if you've got ideologically opposed parties, which you have ideally, we don't have that anymore. But like one party will just undo what the other party does. It's inherently. You know, never going to go anywhere.
I mean, there's one, you could do something like a PR-based system on a very rotational basis. So, like, you do elections almost one, like, constituency by constituency, one by time, one by one, you know, painting the fourth bridge. But that makes elections very unsexy then. You don't have big ceremony.
That's not, I watched a video recently, I'll link it to you, actually, because it's very interesting. It was how Cuba's democracy works. Oh. And I imagine you in particular would fucking love it, I think. I can't remember exactly the details, so I shan't, but I'll link the video.
But yeah, someone posted on Fedi how the very broad synopsis of Chinese democracy, which was kind of
interesting as well.
But yeah, no, I don't know, like it's just like if you had each region with its PRs just bit by bit by bit by bit by bit going around and around and around and around.
But that sounds a bit like representative democracy. And they do not want that. Political classes do not want that.
Well, even in the interest of capital.
No, it's not a capital. I mean, it's part of the problem is capitalism, but it's also that the political class are a political class outside, even, you know, even beyond that. There's a power thing as there's just a raw power thing as, you know, and a sort of power trip thing as well as the money.
Well, that's the thing, because our class system often butts heads with capitalism. But the thing is, because like presumably under capitalism, like steadiness is a good thing. Like they want like steady. Yeah.
Well, so, again, it's the two kinds of capitalism that are at war with each other. The globalists want that.
Yeah.
The speculative, I forget what the name for the other side. They don't.
Disaster capitalists.
Yeah. They want the chaos. Yeah. That's the problem within the right wing, or the, you know, the center right at the moment is these two. You know, Trump representing the what's the term for it? Like the
center right.
I mean, yeah. Within the capitalist, the capitalist right.
Okay. Call it what you want. Yeah. I suppose it's labels.
But I do remember a little bit from, I think Chris will like this, from the Cuba thing. So they have regional assemblies to begin with, but for the countrywide parliament, anybody can put themselves forward. And you are not allowed to spend any money whatsoever on campaigning.
Good, yeah.
What everybody's allowed to do is print out, like, I think it's like a single piece of A4 with like your picture, your name, and the stuff you're going to do. And you put that on a board, and everybody goes and looks at these pieces of A4 paper on the board and then makes a vote on that basis.
But people in this country are too lazy to go and look at a board.
And they actually have school children guarding the ballot boxes. was just a little detail.
That's interesting. Yeah. Much keep, less corruptible, really.
Like, keep people honest, basically.
Because kids, you might try and bribe a kid, but you can't trust them not to go back and say, you know, it's like when your gran says, "Oh, here's a fiver. Don't tell your mum or dad."
Where did you get
a fiver? Well, gran gave me. Or where did you get all those sweets or something? You know, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah, bribe. All you got to do is, if someone offers a bribe, you just say to the kid, "I'll give you more sweets." Well, whoever's bribing you will pay more, because like kids are so cheap to bribe, so it'd be fine.
Well, that's
do you remember when you were a kid kind of like, government, would you
we know what kind of government Chris is going to run. It's like the bribe the kids
based economy
system, yeah.
Bring back child labor,
but only in the political arena.
The kids are running the school now.
not to get to whose line is it anyway. Not whose line is it. What's the panel show? Anyway, yeah, I think kids in Parliament would be better off than where we are now.
Oh, you every mean, day is non-school
uniform
day.
Have I got news for you? Is that what you said?
But yeah.
Peanut.
School trip to the Kellogg's factory. Yes. Everyone in the country. School trip to the...
Yes, no masturbating because you did say the Kellogg's factory, didn't you?
Kellogg's. No, what did I mean? Cadbury's. I meant to say Cadbury's.
Right. I wonder what I meant. It's like anti-masturbation.
I wasn't hugely into sweets even as a kid, but breakfast cereal, loved it. Yeah, yeah. Kellogg's factory. But yeah, anti-masturbation aid, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they get into your bits and pieces, all those cornflake bits, you know.
Well, he also, Dr. Kellogg, of, you know, Kellogg fame, he also invented a chair that makes you shit yourself.
How does that work?
It just shakes you. There's a frequency or something, the way you shake it, the sphincter just opens and you just shit yourself. It was that Victorian idea about health.
I need to find that frequency and learn to and play it over PAs at gigs and stuff. Yeah.
Why didn't they do that on toilet? Note, Why they could do that on toilet seats to help people with
clothes. Dragon's
Den idea.
See, I don't know how well it worked. But also
imagine how does it work then? Ah, well, I fitted your seat up.
He also had devices to be attached to young boys' beds, where at night, if the young boys reached for their penis, it would electrocute them. Like, it was very, very pro shitting and anti masturbation, and I think I'm 180 degrees the opposite.
Was it you that wanted the shit to be teleported out of you?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's healthy for your body, really, because you know we've kind of evolved the way we are for a reason.
I hate going to the toilet. It's such a chore, and
but it's because you don't have any fiber in your diet.
Get all shit down your legs and, you know.
What?
Might be using it wrong.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Drew, here's some free health advice.
Yeah.
Psyllium husks, right?
I don't want no fiber. Fiber makes your shit sloppy.
No. Psyllium husks is not fiber. Psyllium husks line your intestine to make it easier to, like, push it all through when you want to.
I don't have trouble shitting, to be fair. Oh, okay. I'm a very quick shitter. I just resent having to do it.
Quicker than a shitter.
why can't my body just like a plant does, just turn it into gas and just, you know?
Well, we do a bit of that.
Be more efficient a little bit of that as well. Yeah.
We're a bit more complex than plants. Is the answer to that?
Yeah.
Plants are quite a complex organism, but they're, you know, compared to an animal, they're pretty.
They do have more. They do have more. What are the things we have in our genes that you have a certain number of chromosomes. Yeah. So the number of chromosomes doesn't.
Yeah, it's kind of almost inverse to
it's like potatoes have got like 10,000 chromosomes, and we've got, I don't know, however many we've got. It's like, it's weird.
I don't know the numbers, but no two potatoes
look the same, right? Like potatoes. Like, imagine if we looked different on a par with how potatoes looked.
Like, I wonder that about, like, so. Domestic dogs, right? They've been essentially derived from one species. I know there are various species of wild dogs, but like largely from just wolves, right?
Well, not exactly, but yeah, okay. We'll go with that.
Give or take.
A type of wolf.
And like such huge variety. So I'm not a eugenicist, but...
You want to do, like, this with people now, don't you?
Could we do that with people and have like people with just like massive fucking ears? And people with like big fucking jowl and tiny legs. Like, could we do that?
We could. I saw Dr. Mengele.
Yeah, I I saw a thing on...
There's a reason why... Sorry, can I just answer that properly-ish? There's one reason we can't do that, and that's because of our lifespan and how quickly it would, how many generations it would take to do things.
It might take longer, but it's still worthwhile.
It would take several lifetimes to start to see any sort of...
Yeah, but we could literally measure, like, if we wanted to enlarge the human race's penis size. It's like, well, we could all have a measure.
And I don't know how that works, though, because it's hydrodynamic, so I'm not sure how that, if that's a genetic thing.
It's not genetic.
I don't think it is.
It must be a little bit, actually. But anyway, right, okay.
Oh, I was going to say something, but not according to my mother. Let's put it that way.
To solve the life scale thing, we could just force people, as soon as they hit a legal age to reproduce, we force them to breed and then kill them.
And to what end do we do this?
To cycle the generations more quickly.
That won't...
And maybe our first goal in this program is to, like...
You know, why would you have to kill them?
Lannister shit.
Get all the fantasy races. Like, you know, the most elf-like people, breed them all together. The most dwarf-like people...
There's a problem with it. I'll give you a very good reason why that won't work right away.
Uh-huh.
Is when I was at school, I was described by my English teacher as elven. And now I'm this. So you can't rely on early life.
Yeah, but no, you do it lots of times to filter out the...
Yeah,
this.
I think with the filter out this. That could work.
Hamish, I don't actually know this. How tall are you?
About 5'10", something or something. I don't know. 178 centimetres, something like that.
That's disappointingly average, really.
I know, I'm not very tall, no.
It's like either I was hoping you'd either be a dwarf or a giant, but you're just...
I'm very average.
We're going to keep you in the human stock for this breeding program.
Thanks.
I'm about that height, yeah.
But vote for me. I'll be running for local council.
I reckon Drew's taller than I think.
No, I'm 6'10", 6'11", somewhere. Sorry, no, wait, 5. I meant 5. That wasn't a joke. I meant 5. 5'10", 5'11".
All right, and what were you, Chris?
I'm exactly 5'9", which is exactly the average.
Is it?
So everything about you is exactly
average, apart from your hair. Oh, and your nose, I would say.
Amazing personality.
You've quite a lot going on in the nose department, like me, Christopher, haven't you? Yeah.
I've got size 10 feet. What does that mean?
Same size as me.
11.
Ooh. You know what they say about men with big feet?
Big shoes. They're wrong.
So, just as a side question, is 11 a shoe size that's difficult to get shoes for? Oh, do you own a pair of shoes?
He wears shoes all the time. Yeah. He's a weirdo. He's like he never gives his feet.
How many pairs of shoes do you have? And
going on this though, Chris, I own one pair of shoes.
You own one pair of shoes.
Two pairs because I bought those dress ones.
What do you wear inside the house?
Me or Drew?
Yeah,
me.
Well, yeah,
socks,
yeah, yeah.
Just generally,
just socks. Okay.
Do you count slippers or sandals or whatever?
Yeah. I'm including slippers. Yeah.
Three pairs then.
Okay.
And that's only because I bought a pair of dress shoes recently.
All right. I've got
one pair. I do have some boots that I don't wear, but one pair of shoes. This is they. They're not very.
I can't really see them.
I buy a pair of these exact boots every time the other ones wear out.
Oh, so you are wearing shoes indoors. You're a good boy.
I just put them on to take the dog out.
I'm getting into these weird maneuvers a minute ago.
They're nice, Chris. They're nice.
I'm getting into these. This is actually the Peacock's Chelsea boots.
Yeah.
And I've recently taken one, and they slide on and off so easily.
I do fucking hate laces.
Mm. Oh well, yeah. This
laces
whole world.
Yeah.
I don't mind laces for certain things, but you're right. Like I'm really enjoying slip on trainers. I've got a pair of that. Mm. I've got.
You're more
sandals.
Stylish than either of us. So. Really?
Yeah. You know, it's more down to comfort than style. Like I don't want to wear.
Yeah, but you also knew what name your shoes were. I couldn't even tell you without looking at mine what they are.
It's only because I like slip-on boots.
I've got Carrymore.
Two pairs of wellies.
I can't wear wellies. I can't wear wellies. My thighs are my shins are too big.
You can wear short wellies that only come up to your ankle and things like that.
Well, they're not wellies then, are they? What's the point?
Okay, rain boots.
The Duke of Wellington would not approve.
But no, I've got, well, I've actually got three pairs, but that's that one of them is.
Why would you have multiple Wellingtons? I'm not allowing wellies, by the way. That's also
some of your sippy cup, that.
Well, it, a little bit of it is just vanity, but one of them is the white pair of Crocs that you've seen on some photographs. So those are Croc Wellingtons. but they're not even called wellies or Wellingtons, but they basically are.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've got a pair of like shorter Wellingtons, so they're like normal wellies.
Like you like see kids wearing those ones.
Yeah, yeah, like kids.
Half shin sort of.
Yeah, and because they're quite easy to drive in, so you can go out for a sloppy walk. And I mean, you can drive in wellies, normal wellies, but and I've got a pair of just like normal green Dunlop wellies.
See, I did when I drove, I did like driving with no shoes on.
I've never driven without any shoes on.
That feels quite nice.
I've got loads of shoes. I've got like
wouldn't have taken my socks off.
Oh, do you know? I've got like three pairs of trainers.
Why? I mean, you do go outdoors.
Yeah, but why would you need you know, I can understand you needing or wanting a pair of wellies, a pair of boots, a pair of trainers, you know, that kind of thing. Why do you need more than one of each?
So they're like in reserve because I get them when they're on sale. So
fair enough. Yeah, yeah. If I saw these on sale, I suppose I might buy a pair early.
Red, yeah, yeah. Buy a
but
pair
they would early. Just be a sitting there waiting for these ones to wear out. That
and I've got two pairs of plimsolls because they wear out pretty quick as well, and they're cheap.
Plimsolls, right? Okay.
Love that.
They're
word.
Nice plimsolls.
It's a very British way of putting. Well, it's a very English way of putting it.
I can show you one. I can't find. Sorry, it. These are my.
Yeah, I see those kind of things in shops. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're quite cheap, quite nice, quite comfortable. Oh, I've also got these. Fine. These are
moccasin style.
Moccasin style, yeah. These are slip them on. You can wear them without socks, but I don't really like wearing them without socks.
No good.
Oh, also, this is one pair of trainer I got. But then I got them in Lidl, so you got to get them when you can in Lidl.
Oh yeah.
Well, you're Lidl's poster boy,
brand ambassador. Yeah.
Brand ambassador. What, that's an Americanism, also, isn't it?
I brought them because I want to find out how long they're going to last.
Poster boy.
They're comfortable. They're like as comfortable as Skechers, but I want to know how long they last. That's like I'm sort of.
I'm hard on shoes though, so I'll buy them like two or three pairs of these boots every year. But then it's the only thing I wear, so
yeah. And also these sandals, I got these last year from Lidl. They're the most comfortable pair of sandals I've ever owned.
Charity shop. I've never seen sandals. In
I
the
don't.
Wild.
I don't get shoes from charity shops because usually there's a reason they're in a charity shop, and it's because they're uncomfortable.
Okay. Mm. Well, I was just going to say most of my mum's shoes just got chucked out, but she had literally bought some new shoes before she passed, and like they had been delivered while she was in hospital and stuff. And I think they're going to charity, is there? You know,
Crocs are pretty good.
Okay. Quite like that. What's that you're fiddling with, Drew?
I'll put your shoe back on. Dusting my desk.
Oh, I see.
Just as I was giving my shoe tour. So that's a Croc.
I like Crocs. Bit. I like respect Crocs. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what I've Crocs got when I say I've got slippers, stroke sandals, whatever, it's these.
Mm.
I use them as slippers, they're nice. But they're very worn now. So when I go in the damp grass, they're just all one molded thing. They're cheap as fuck.
Oh yeah, yeah. The clogs is the non-brand term for it.
Is it right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get a new pair. Yeah.
I did have a pair of Lidl's clogs, but they were like quite a hard plastic, so they're quite hard wearing on the feet. So you couldn't really walk that far in them, and also they didn't have enough ventilation holes. So I donated them to a charity shop.
Oh my god, look at my moobs.
God bless him. So that's shoe hour.
There you go. It's been quite a long time. Anyway, that was episode 2 of series 5 of The Expanse. Plus other stuff. So all right, Peanut. Got your toy.
I got a point to Chris trying to lip sync that. I respect that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the delay made that work in any way.
No, it was great. Worked for me.
Worked for well, as long as it works for you.